Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Everybody to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, the 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out the site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here. I just saw something. But anyway, almost said the Ravens are the best. Anyway, we got Izzo joining us at 8:30. Going to get us caught up on the latest in the NHL as now we watch the NHL approach the offseason. Well, I'm not going to say approach the offseason. We're going to see how they're going to tackle this offseason. Season ended. We got less than 2 months. Next season, reload and go. So this is going to be an interesting and fun offseason for the NHL. We're going to have Izzo in here to talk about that, what has gone on since last Monday night. And then, of course, the crowning of a new champion. Because we knew that there would be a champion for Monday night. We just didn't know how long and who it was going to be necessarily. So we got Izzo joining us later on to talk about that. Looking forward to having him in the studio. I want to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus and More Than Music. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow. So you go to our site, www.the110nationsports.com. On the front page, go to the bottom. Click on their banners, or if you go to the articles, click on the right-hand side, or go to the right-hand side, their banners on the right-hand side. Carolina Sports Plus, take care of all your sporting merchandise needs. Click on the banner, takes you to their fan page on Facebook. Just let Mario know what you're looking for. He's got everything. He can get you everything. He can get you a hell of a deal. Just let him know the 110 Nation sent you. Also, if you need a DJ, getting married, got a party, ceremony, graduation, whatever the case may be, coming up. All you do is click on the banner, book your DJ a day, or you can go to more2music.com and just let him know the 110 Nation sent you, and he'll take care of you. We got tomorrow night, we got 8 o'clock, we got Take It Back Tuesday, as I sit in the studio and work on some stuff and play an oldie but goodie. So looking forward to see what show we pull out the archives, out of the archives. And, of course, Thursday night, Race Chat Live, as the guys get you caught up on all the latest and the craziness out of Talladega for NASCAR as we get ready to approach, or we are approaching the next round. So looking forward to that as well. We had some football yesterday. We got a game that's got pushed back, the Pittsburgh Titans game. We had some positive tests. Obviously, somebody's not following protocol, as there were multiple players that our tests had tested positive. I think on the Titans. I don't know if any on the Steelers. So, obviously, one of these teams decided not to play by the rules and have had some positive tests. I'll tell you what, we just came back from Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And I learned this weekend, maybe not to complain so much about my sorry ass governor, because I got to experience what it's like to be in Kentucky with this quote unquote pandemic going on. You know, I honestly thought that once the CDC, the same place that these idiots and their agenda and these 200 to 210,000 people have died since had COVID. Oh, I understand. It's all about how you guys word it, because the same CDC, the same place you get those same numbers from, also let you know that only 6% of that, less than 1%. So next to nobody out of pretty much nobody has actually just died from COVID. That 6% takes you down to 10 to 12%, which every life matters. Don't take that as, oh, it was just not saying that. I'm also tired of these people pushing their agenda and wanting to blame Trump for everything. And feels that we need to lock down the economy like Biden. And once he becomes president, it's going to shut this all back down and just really destroy everybody. They base all this off this false narrative that there's been 200,000 plus people die from COVID. And I don't know if these people are just that stupid or that naive or just pushing that agenda that hard. You do realize we all know the difference between dying with COVID and dying from COVID. They're completely different. I could have no symptoms and no other issues in my life and get COVID and die strictly from COVID. I could commit suicide tomorrow, but had COVID. But just because you have it doesn't mean you die from it. There's a difference. And the CDC has made sure to point that out and make sure that the numbers were more true and factual. And you have these bumbling idiots that just have nothing else better to do, and Facebook warriors and Karens and Kyles and idiots and stupidity. I got a chance to go through Kentucky, and it's one of those states that I thought was more conservative, but obviously not. I don't know what point they flipped, because we decided to stop one. It's like mandatory everywhere to have masks. Like, it's beyond ridiculous. But the social distancing, we decided we was going to stop at Frisch's Big Boy. Hadn't had that in a while. Thought we were going to stop on the way back from Gatlinburg. You know, the next person in the line, there's maybe like, 10, 12 people in this whole restaurant. And one, I didn't appreciate the fact that the manager, being someone that has run many locations of wherever I've worked, would have done myself and had, you know, the fact that that's my title, decided to punk out and send her employee up to inform everybody else standing in line that they have met capacity. But yeah, like 12 people in the whole damn restaurant, and you're at max capacity and can't have nobody else. And we go over to the Penn Station. Never had that at all before in my life. And they only allow 10 people in there. Luckily, there's only 2 people in there when we got there, so we had an opportunity to sit and eat. But kind of learned that as stupid and power hungry as Mike DeWine is here in Ohio, there still are states that their governors are just above and beyond everybody else. But I did get to, on the way home, I got that opportunity to, well, actually before the way home, I think we made it almost to halftime before we actually got on the road. My Cleveland Browns and those Dallas Cowboys. And I had to make sure I kept up with the score. And I Miss Brandy's sister is a diehard Cowboys fan. Needless to say, she was not thrilled. She was trying to unfriend me and bury me in the backyard. I wasn't going to make it till Halloween and all this other jazzy stuff. Like I told Miss Brandy, it's great time to be a Browns fan, but you got your takes from this game that I've had an opportunity to catch a show or to show today. I was wise on this long weekend of Gatlinburg to take Monday off. I was the only one that scheduled myself off. Everybody else had to go back to work today. I got an opportunity to get in the gym today, finishing cleaning the sheets and comforter in the bed. Got to do the laundry, got to take care of some stuff, gym, you know, all the, and then I just like took a nap in the show and everything. One, Browns fans. Let's not get too excited here. We managed to beat a Bengals team that, until this weekend, they hadn't even won a game all year. In 4 weeks, they have one win. So you can try to put all the weight into that you want, that and that you let's be a little more realistic about what happened in week two and the victory. And let's take that win. Let's take that win as what it was, a win against one of the worst teams in the NFL, and I disproved Colin Cowherd, and the gibberish he came out of his mouth as he spent pretty much a whole half of a show or segment of a show or whatever trying to pump up and hype up a rookie Joe Burrow way more than went on to talk about all this gibberish in comparison to Baker Mayfield. We rolled into week three, 84-game streak of not having above 500 record, and we beat a Washington football team. All right, let's not put a lot of weight into that. I mean, it's Washington. It's one of the most dysfunctional organizations. How they've had the whole name Redskin controversy go on for, God, a decade at this point at least. And finally decided we're going to not call ourselves the Redskins no more. And you've had many years to already have in play what the alternative name was going to be. And you couldn't even come up with a name. Then you find out that there's sex, drugs, and a whole bunch of stuff going on in the front office, and it just a hot mess in Washington. Here, we were on to week four, and we play the Dallas Cowboys, team that a lot of people, I don't know why, a lot of team picked to go to the Super Bowl. A team that is one onside kick away from being 0-3 going into this week. I mean, that's what was called what it is. If Atlanta went and had one of the biggest meltdowns in NFL history and wouldn't allow that onside kick that still blows my mind that nobody from Atlanta touched that ball and just let it go, Dallas would have went into this week 0-3. Instead, they went into this week 1-2, 5.5-point favorite against a 2-1 Cleveland team that, okay, we spit the resume. We talked about the only loss was a bad loss against Baltimore, and, you know, that was kind of to be expected. A lot of things had to be adjusted, and new coach, new offensive coordinator, it is what it is. We took the L. Then here we roll into week four against what should be an 0-3, but it's a 1-2 Dallas Cowboys team. And we beat the brakes off of them. Well, it wasn't that good. It was only good. Cleveland was up by 4 touchdowns and only won by 11, if I understand. When you're up by 4 touchdowns going into the fourth, defense loosens up. Defense just doesn't let the long, deep pass happen. They let those little intermediate passes, those short passes, which racked up and racked up and racked up. And next thing you know, the Cowboys had scored 3 touchdowns and got the game close. Then once again, Dak Prescott threw another interception, and then we watched the game in after the Cleveland had got the ball and did a run around with Odell Beckham, took it 50 yards to the house. Then, depending on what show you watch, Dak Prescott, he's having an excellent year. He threw for 500 yards, threw for all these touchdowns. So we're not going to focus on the fact that he fumbled the ball, which gave Cleveland one of their touchdowns. If the defense could have caught the ball instead of dropped him, Cleveland would have had three more interceptions. They just dropped passes that were thrown straight to the defender. And then to seal the deal on the final drive, the Dallas had the ball and Cleveland picked it off. So what ended up being a touchdown and a fumble, which really should have been about four interceptions and a fumble, you got a bunch of garbage yards. You got a couple hundred of your 500 garbage yards, if not 300 yards, garbage yards in the fourth when you're down by four touchdowns and Cleveland's defense loosened up. Not so bright. That's exactly what was going on without even watching the game. While we were on the road, as I seen the Dallas Cowboys go down the field, then down the field. Cleveland's defense. I hate when any defense does that. Why take your foot off the throat? I can understand offensively, you start taking out some of your key players, especially when you have a good backup. Like, it would have been fine for me if you would have took out Baker Mayfield and put Case Keenum. You have a good backup quarterback. Give him some time. Give him an opportunity. It would have been fine to take out Kareem Hunt. Nick Chubb was already out with an injury. He was questionable. It's got to do with his ankle. Still waiting for an update. That wouldn't have bothered me. When your defense takes the foot off the throat and allows the team to crawl back into a game, I'm not a fan of that. I let that happen to Atlanta many times. You lit up in the second half, and that's what Cleveland did in the fourth. But to all those that Dak Prescott's doing all this, and it's not that Dak Prescott's fault, and Dak Prescott this, When you go to run in your mouth, make sure you remember the fact that he had an interception. He fumbled the football. Most of his, if not half of his yards, were garbage yards when Cleveland's defense was loosened up. And there really should have been three or four more interceptions, but Cleveland's defenders wouldn't have dropped balls that were hitting them straight in the hands. And would we still be having that conversation? Now, I will give Dak Prescott this much credit. Dallas defense sucks. Dallas defense is the worst defense in the entire NFL. Like, there's no if, ands, buts about it. It don't get no worse than the Dallas defense. I'll give Dak Prescott that. You have a quarterback that is in his contract year that's having really an average season, because the same thing happened in the Atlanta game. A lot of those yards, touchdowns, were garbage. They were a defense that felt we were up by three plus touchdowns. What, 24 points? We're going to ease up. And they got back in the game. An onside kick and they win the game. Same thing happened in the Cleveland game. Up by 27 points, we're gonna chill. We're going to chillax. Five of those yards, three of those touchdowns, all garbage time. I mean, I know it counts. Both those defenses would have kept their feet on their necks. We wouldn't even have this conversation about Dak's yards and his touchdowns and his completion percentage, because it would reflect how he performed in the first half or the first three quarters of these games versus having a 3 to 4 quarters of garbage time that's padded to the numbers. Cleveland, the fans don't get too wrapped up into this. We're still nothing more than, if we're lucky, a wild card team. That's really it. And honestly, we make it, we're one and done. Our defense is not really that. We're going to outscore you. I had this conversation, another one of the conversations I had this week, and I hate when you have teams that defense sucked, and you're counting on them to outscore the other team. Offenses win games. Defenses win championships. You can't outscore everybody. One of those days, the calls are not going to go your way. Quarterback just simply not going to have a good day. Your passing game is going to be shut down, whatever the case may be. Your defense has got to be able to stop somebody. I'd have felt better if we would have got those four interceptions. Defenses, you can't make it where your offense has got to score. We've had three straight games of 30-plus points. That's the first time, I think they said, since before Jim Brown. These games should not have been this close. We're putting up it's funny because I talked about this. I can remember once upon a time we had one of the best defenses, and we were top five. We were allowing teams score 9 points, 6 points, or 9 points, 12 points, 15 points, hardly anything at all. Unfortunately, those time frames, our offense was horrible. Even though our defense only allowed 9 points, we were only scoring 6 points. Even though the defense only allowed 12 points, we were only scoring 9 points. Now we finally have an offense that can put up points, but we don't have the defense that's going to stop everybody. And it sucks. It sucks we couldn't get it timed where we could have a defense that is good and solid that's going to stop the opponent, and then an offense that's just going to line the scoreboard. Oh, Lord. 3-1. I can't say the last time I remember the Cleveland Browns being 3-1. I think they said 2001 the last time. We've gone 3-1. Lord have mercy. The insanity. Detroit. They once again blew another lead. At some point, you kind of feel bad for Detroit. Like you start to feel bad. You start to wonder what. Right now, the Chiefs are up only 6-3. No Cam Newton, and this Kansas City zero touchdowns in the first half for a second time with Mahomes as starter. So is that 3 years now? First time in 3 years, or second time in 3 years? That they've not been able to score a touchdown in the first half. Only 6-3. Who would have thought? I mean, it is still a Bill Belichick system. Nine o'clock tonight. We got the Falcons and the Packers playing. So that would be an interesting game as well. Other games that happened, Denver got them a win, got that one right over the New York Jets, 37-28. 0-4 start for second straight season for the New York Jets. Panthers kind of surprised me with a 31-21 win over Cardinals. I guess I kind of went a little bit too much all in on Kyle Murray. I think reality is starting to sink in, and the Bears and Colts will win 19-11, giving the Bears their first loss. Allowed 28 rush yards, fewest in games since 2009. It's going to be interesting. The Colts are only allowing like something like 70 yards rushing and 150 yards passing. One of the, the stingiest defense in the NFL right now. And that's who Cleveland goes up against at home next weekend. So this will be interesting. One, hopefully Nick Chubb is back. But with the Chubb cream, or just even the Kareem coming out the backfield, it's going to be interesting if we could rack up more than 75 yards against this Colts defense. I think this is a little bit more of a product of who they've played. So I'm not going to get too wrapped up into the stats of the of the Indianapolis Colts, because a lot of those got to do a product. And I'm expecting to hear Colin Cowherd, because Once again, Mayfield only threw for 165 yards. Even though we put up 49 points, we only managed 165 yards from Baker Mayfield and 202 yards because Jarvis Landry threw that 37-yard beautiful pass to Odell Beckham to start the game out. Running game, we're going to see how this turns out for the Cleveland Browns as they put up a lot of rushing yards. As I want to say it was in the 300 ballpark. You got 95 from Ernest Johnson. Odell had 73 yards rushing. Kareem Hunt, 71. Chubb, 43 before he got injured. That's already 290-ish yards. So, yeah, 300 yards for the Cleveland Browns, who rely heavily on that running game. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what this Indianapolis Colts defense can do and if they can maintain and really shut down the best running back duo in the NFL. So we'll definitely have to keep our eye on that. Cincinnati did finally get them a win over Jacksonville. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Jacksonville. Way to ruin a perfect season for us in here in Ohio. There was nothing better than to give us true NFL fans a whatever season for the Cincinnati Bengals. Like I said, Detroit collapsed, and Saints end up winning 35-29. Minnesota over Texans, which Bill O'Brien has found his pink slip, so now Houston is looking for a GM, a head coach, and you shouldn't have gave Deshaun Johnson that ridiculously stupid contract, second biggest contract in the NFL currently. You pull out Patrick Mahomes' 10-year contract and currently normal-sized contract. Sean Watson has the biggest contract. You are highly, obviously, 0-4, overpaying Deshaun Watson. Seattle continues their winning ways to an undefeated season, 31-23 over the Miami Dolphins. The Buccaneers, Tom Brady threw five touchdowns. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have gone to 3-1 and won 38-31 over the Los Angeles Chargers. Ravens 31-17. That's what I was laughing about. That I saw a tweet, a text, a post. It was a post. It was someone saying this is why once again the Ravens showed me they're the best team because you beat the Washington football team. You didn't beat them by no more than the Cleveland Browns, and I discredited that win for the Cleveland Browns because it's the Washington football team. I like when you, and I discredited the three wins we even had. It's great to be 3-1. That's why I said Cleveland Browns fans, you need to slow your roll. I mean, we just beat the Bengals, the Washington football team, and the Dallas Cowboys, who are an onside kick away from being 0-4. You still give them that win. We're at 3-12-1 or whatever the combined record of the people we beat. Ravens, don't get too excited. You got over on the Browns the week one. You couldn't handle the Chiefs, and the Chiefs manhandled you. Your credibility and the wins are not much better than the Browns. Baltimore fans, you need to kind of pump the brakes as well. The Rams continued their winning ways, winning 17-9 over the winless Giants, taking themselves to 3-1. Giants going 0-4. Baltimore surprising everybody with their win over the Raiders. Well, not so much the win over the Raiders, but the fact that they're 4-0 and playing to the level they're playing as Buffalo wins 30-23 over now the 2-2 Las Vegas Raiders. And then the 49ers collapsed and watched a Eagle team that I can't believe how many people are still sold and hyping Carson Wentz, who's complete garbage. But anyway, can't even stay healthy. But anyways, the 49ers lose to the Eagles 25-20. And like I said, the Titans and the Steelers with COVID issues decided they are going to take their undefeated season and postpone this game. I think they play like week 9 now at this point versus playing this week. Titans will take their undefeated season against Buffalo next week. That will be an interesting matchup against the 4-0 Steelers. And then the Pigs, or the 4-0 Buffalo Bills, I'm sorry. And then the Steelers, 3-0, go against the, sorry, Philadelphia Eagles, which will help the Steelers still maintain first place with the Ravens and the Baltimore, or the Cleveland Browns right there behind with one loss. Like I said, we got Izzo joining us in the studio. We got a lot of things to jump into tonight. We have a champion. Of course, we're going to wrap up the season with that and talk about who won, how they won, and where they go from now. And then also, like I said at the beginning of the show, we have the offseason. The offseason that is less than 2 months long, and a lot's going to happen in a short amount of time. It's probably going to be one of the, if not the most interesting offseason, not only in NHL, but probably in any sport, how quickly they're going to foot this and get it restarted and everything that's got to happen before December 1st in order this to happen. So very excited to not only have Izzo one, but be able to witness how the NHL handles this and does this without any further delay, though. Let's get Izzo in the studio. Izzo, how are you doing tonight?
You might have pressed the wrong button. This is not Izzo.
I'm sorry, I hit the wrong one. Izzo, how are you doing?
Hey,
tonight?
How we doing tonight, Jay?
I'm here.
Hey, that's good, man. Well, hey, we're after the season now. Obviously, we have our Stanley Cup winner in the Tampa Bay Lightning, which was pretty entertaining. In my book, really, incredible feat. These guys pulled it off in 6 games. And Victor Hedman wins the Conn Smythe Trophy. We will get into that, too, as well. But just kind of kicking back, kind of enjoying some football and just kind of listening. You can hear the people, like, crying in joy right now that Bill O'Brien has been fired this evening, Jay. So when this news kind of broke at, like, just before 4 o'clock, I was at the bank, and you could hear the ESPN, the Josh Ennis show down here. You could just hear him screaming, on the radio and everything. And the lady, the bank teller said, "Hey, what's going on?" And I said, "They fired Bill O'Brien." And they, everybody in the bank, started jumping up and down and throwing their fists up in joy. So, it was pretty entertaining afternoon on the way home, but. Other than that, just kind of taking in some other sports right now. So we got the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. So second in their franchise, but that's what we had going on last week. Without any further ado, Jay, we could jump right into it this evening.
Tell you what, that's funny to hear the people at the bank even excited. I don't know that I've ever been in a town that, like, I could go in the bank now and. I was going to say it's different type of twos, but we have two teams, but you guys got most of the teams as well. I don't know if I have any state, even back in North Carolina or here, that I would have talked about a coach being fired and the people in the bank even blinking eye, bat an eye, or even really pretty much know what I'm even talking about. So that's kind of funny to me. We got a champion. Game 6. Let's break that down. What went right for the champions? What went wrong for the losing team? And what really impressed you throughout the game that got us where we're at and crowned the champion?
Well, obviously, Tampa Bay, took game 6, a 2-0 shutout, I do believe it was. So Andrei Vasilevskiy recorded a shutout in that game. It just injuries kind of killed Dallas this year. The penalty kill was really exposed in this final, where Tampa Bay is just lethal in that power play, Jay, and they just kind of made Dallas pay each time they took a penalty. And when you're busy killing off penalties, in your own zone, you can't really play offensive hockey, can't really get anything started. You're not going to be able to score goals, and I think that was Dallas's kind of downfall, were the penalties and the injuries to the guys that that are their penalty killers. So, they're missing, I think, their bottom four defensemen due to injuries. So that's why we saw a lot of rookies come in for Dallas, and they performed very, very well. So, you know, unfortunate, but, you know, this Dallas team is still very, very young. A lot of guys are still under contract. Their core guys are still under contract. So we're going to see what's going to happen here once, you know, the draft is over here, when the draft is over and free agency begins. So Tampa Bay, they skated really well. The stamina that these guys had. Some of these guys have been in the league for some good time now. So the stamina and the poise that they showed, you know, being down, coming back, playing all the overtimes, this team was extremely resilient and just did not have an ounce of quit. And I think they really kind of outperformed everybody's expectation. John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, was under a lot of pressure this year and was really, I think, if not for that for that cup win, you know, he could have been another coach that we could have seen gotten the axe too. So, you know, props to what Tampa Bay did, staying aggressive, staying with that fast pace that they like to play, and just really making the Dallas Stars, you know, really pay on their power play opportunities. And, you know, on Dallas's side, it's unfortunate that the injuries kind of hit you, but, you know, no one really expected Dallas to make a big splash. I did have Dallas making it to the Western Conference Finals in my preseason pick. I didn't think they were going to make it to the Cup Final with the team that they had this year. So, you know, despite the coaching change earlier in the year, Bonus did a great job getting Dallas where they need to be. And, you know, if they can keep this kind of, you know, keep this this kind of chemistry going, this is going to be a dangerous team in the next, you know, maybe 1 to 2 years. So, again, congratulations to Lightning. Congratulations to John Cooper and everybody, you know, in Tampa Bay. So, you know, it's just an all-around good final series to watch, Jay.
Like I said, we got a lot of things got to happen between now and December 1st. The NHL is hoping and shooting to have the next season started December 1st or around that time frame. That means a lot of things. That means trades, draft, free agency, training camps, rosters got to be set, preseason. There's a lot of things that got to happen in the next 2 months. And a lot of things, as we discussed in the last show, has already started. The dominoes have already started to fall, and cards have already started to lay where they're going to lay. And this week did not let us down at all as well. We'll start with last Friday, as we had last Wednesday, as another player was bought out by a team. Let's jump into the Rangers buying out a contract after 15 seasons. Let's jump into that one first.
Yeah, it's New York Rangers. Henrik Lundqvist had his final year bought out after 15 seasons. Was drafted by the Rangers and played his entire career there. So, like you said, 15 year run in New York. Definite future Hall of Famer. He's 38 years old this year. Carried an $8.5 million cap hit on a 7-year contract that he signed back in 2013, if I do remember correctly, and was only owed about $5.5 million in total salary for the 2020-2021 season. So they're going to have that kind of broken down a little bit. According to Cap Friendly, you know, Lundqvist will count for about $5.5 million in this 2020-2021 season and $1.5 million in the 21-22 season. So this kind of works out a little bit, especially with the emergence of Alex Georgiev and Igor Shesterkin, two young great goaltenders, two Eastern European goaltenders. I think the torch is going to be in good hands with these two guys. And for Lundqvist, who knows now what you're going to do? Are you going to, you know, be looking for a number one job? Are you going to be chasing a Stanley Cup? So we got some questions, you know, kind of need to be answered here So, you know, free agency, I do believe, is going to start on October 9th after the draft and everything. So, you know, under his reign in net, he made the playoffs 11 out of his 15 seasons, reaching the Eastern Conference Finals three times, losing the Stanley and making the Stanley Cup one time, losing that only appearance in 2014 against the Kings. He did win the Vezina Trophy in 2012 as the best goaltender in the league and was a finalist two other times. So, you know, I do believe that a lot of people are going to be sad to see the King go, King Henry, as he's known by, as he goes by in New York up in Broadway. So, you know, it's a sad day, definitely. But, you know, when you have younger and when you have younger options that, you know, seem to be able to hold up and fill some shoes, you know, it's time to move on and look towards the future. And I think this is kind of like a sad, but, you know, something that had to be done. They're definitely in the retooling process. We already know that they made a move to trade Mark Stahl earlier. Talked about that a week or two ago. So, you know, with the emergence of Shesterkin, excuse me, and Gorgiev, CJ, I even have problems with these guys' names sometimes too. So don't feel too bad. But with the emergence of these two young goaltenders, you know, it's a move had to be made, and it's just time to move on from the old guard and install the new guard, Jay.
Then we rolled in the weekend with some more news, or at least rumors, as there was a possibility that the Jets would be willing to trade one of their own. Lane, let's jump into that. Is his value worth them trading? Is this somebody you feel that's going to be traded? And where would it be a good – who would be a good team? Who do they need to – what do they need and where what's the best fit for them as well?
Well, Patrick Laine, we all know, who was drafted by the Jets a couple seasons ago, you know, along with some with the Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, you know, in that kind of age group there. He's only 22. You know, he scored 63 points this season, 28 goals, 35 assists in 68 games. And injured his hand in game one of the play-in tournament. In the first game, if I remember correctly. So, Laine is a dangerous winger. I do like his offensive prowess. He can find the net. He can put the puck in the net, and he does have a tremendous shot. Somewhat almost comparable to what Ovechkin does. Maybe not quite on Ovechkin's you know, level quite yet. So he was selected number two overall in the 2016 pick. He has one season left on a two-year, $13.5 million contract. So he's looking at 6.75, you know, for a season. So for a guy like Laine, who pretty much hasn't really come close to hitting his peak yet, could really help out some of the teams that, you know, that are looking for some power scoring, some offensive firepower, some superstar, you know, kind of help. And one team that really kind of makes sense to me that has the cap space that, you know, if they have something to, you know, to offer would be your Columbus Blue Jackets, Jay. I think under Tortorella, Laine could be utilized in a manner where he's going to, you know, attract a lot of that attention and kind of help take some of that, you know, that scoring problem off. You know, if he can put up 68 points, a season right now, you know, through 64, 68 games, whatever it was, you know, he could, you know, with an 82 game season and a new change of scenery, could really benefit a guy like that. So a definite, you know, 30 to 40 goal scorer, could possibly even be a 50 goal scorer too. I just think with the way that Winnipeg has kind of tooled their roster and everything, you still have Mark Scheifele, Cody Eakin, and Nikolaj Ehlers that are on a team, including with Tyler Myers and Jacob Trouba and Ben Chariot all kind of leaving. This team has been slowly kind of being retooled, not necessarily a rebuild, but just kind of retooled here and there. So it's definitely a different approach. And frankly, I find this kind of shocking, especially a number two overall pick who hasn't even been in the league, you know, 5 seasons yet, 4 years yet. So, you know, still of a huge – that ceiling is still, you know, pretty high right now. And he will command a lot of value, you know, whether it's going to be a couple early round picks and, you know, some players. But you're going to be seeing a team possibly who can eat, you know, a good portion of that contract, if not all of it, and then have the option to re-sign him. So I'm paying attention to this one, Jay. This is something that I'm interested in seeing where Patrick Laine can end up.
And then, of course, we watched the Sharks and Wild decide that they're going to make some trades. As Sharks trade 2 players to the Wild, let's break down both of those trades, how this helped the Sharks, and likewise, what the Wild received in this and how this is going to improve their team.
Well, if we look at what Minnesota doing, Minnesota's in a full rebuild right now as far as I'm concerned, Jay. A lot of guys are getting up there. Mikko Koivu's getting up there in age. Ryan Suter's getting up there in age. Parise's getting up there in age. Devin Dubnyk is up in age, and he was shipped over to the San Jose Sharks, just like you said. Devin Dubnyk at a 7th-round pick in the 2022 draft was traded to the San Jose Sharks from Minnesota for a 5th-round pick. Dubnyk had kind of a subpar year this year, was 12-15-2 with a 3.35 goals against average and an 89% save percentage in 30 games, 28 of those which he had started. So missed time in November and December with his wife dealing with a medical issue and lost his job, lost the number one job to Alex Stalock, young and up-and-coming kid from Minnesota. So you know, Dubnyk has been, you know, somewhat of a blessing for Minnesota. They were kind of lacking some goaltending there for a while before he showed up. Dubnyk was up in Edmonton for a while, if I do remember correctly. I do believe it was Edmonton for a while and got a, you know, just kind of like a change of scenery and just kind of flourished for Minnesota there for a while, getting into the playoffs for a couple of times. On the other end, you know, for the Sharks, Martin Jones, who has been the starting goaltender for the Sharks, you know, now has another potential number one goalie coming across and, you know, and possibly filling in the spot. Martin Jones, who took the Sharks to the Stanley Cup, helped take the Sharks to the Stanley Cup, I should say, against the Penguins in their first back to back a couple seasons ago. So San Jose goaltending has always been an issue. You know, that seems to be their Achilles heel when they get deep into the playoffs or the postseason and times past. You know, I do believe that, you know, they are a solid team. They have a good core of young guys and everything. They have some contracts that they need to settle up. And just the goaltending situation between Martin Jones and Aaron Dell, you know, just didn't really work out for them the way they wanted to. So, you know, that kind of nips that in the bud a little bit, kind of shores up your, you know, your 1-2 goalie situation. And then also joining Devin Dubnyk, Ryan Donato, who was traded to the Sharks by Minnesota also for a 3rd-round pick in the 2021 draft. This pick was acquired by San Jose in a trade from Pittsburgh when they moved forward Patrick Marleau back in February. So Donato, 23 points, 14 goals, 9 assists in 62 games this year. No points in 2 seasons or 2 postseason games this season. So, and they were the Wild were bounced out by the Canucks in the play-in tournament before the actual playoffs started. The 24-year-old had a 2-year $3.8 million average, $3.8 million contract, $1.9 million annually, due to him, and is going to be a restricted free agent after next season. So, this kind of shores up some bottom six scoring, you know, some good grinders. I do like Ryan Donato, a good young player, nice little gritty player too, can show some offensive prowess. You know, like you see, he could put up some points and everything. You know, I would expect him to continue to do the same thing. He's still a younger guy too. Hasn't really, I wouldn't say, I'd say he's closer to his ceiling than what Patrick Laine is for the Jets. So, you know, for Minnesota, this is them just trying to acquire some picks, maybe to possibly fix up that farm system that they got, or lack of farm system, I should say, Jay, that they have up there. And, you know, for Minnesota, this is just them, you know, retooling, clearing up some cap space, building up getting some draft picks. And for San Jose, this is just them trying to solidify the roster a little bit more on the goaltender side and on the bottom six forwards. So good move, I think, by the Sharks. It should pay off pretty well for them. Can't wait to see what happens for next season. And like I said, for Minnesota, just in complete full rebuild right now. So a lot of work to do up on that team. It's going to be a couple seasons before we can really consider them to be a playoff contender, Jay.
Now, also part of a rebuild process is the draft. And now we have our order set for the first round of the NHL draft. Let's jump into that draft order. Let's talk about the first handful of picks, and let's talk about the significance of who, where, and what's available, and how this could help benefit many teams, or at least certain teams in this year's draft.
Well, we all know that the number one overall pick was, in my opinion, was a little fouled up with the teams that were bounced out of the play-in tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Had a shot at the number one overall pick. So the Rangers, New York Rangers, have that number one overall pick, and the Los Angeles Kings are at the number two pick, and the Ottawa Senators from the San Jose Sharks have that number three pick. So draft's going to kick off tomorrow. 7 p.m. Eastern time on NBCSN. Rounds 2 through 7 are going to be on October 7th at 11:30 Eastern on the NHL Network. And that's what we're going to have going on. We got some big names. We got a couple names that I'm going to be watching, especially in Lafreniere. He seems to be the consensus number one overall pick, according to many draft experts right now. So young Canadian kid, you know, he's going to be one of those interesting kids to watch. I hope that the smoke hasn't really been built up too much about what he's done. You know, the Oceanic captain is the number one overall ranked skater in North America. So he leads the Quebec Junior Major League with 77 assists and 112 points. And, you know, for the second straight season, was awarded the most valuable player for the Q MJHL and Personality of the Year in the Canadian Hockey League Player of the Year. So Lafreniere's CHL leading 2.15 points per game is the best since Connor McDavid a couple seasons ago in the OHL in 2014-2015. So, you know, it was kind of interesting because he was a two-sport kid, was a big big-time baseball guy, and also hockey too. So he kind of had a little there's a little article and interview. I don't know. I might have to find it so I can share it. But he discussed this kind of growing up and trying to decide whether he wanted to play baseball or hockey and everything. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. But as for the Rangers, having that number one overall pick, Jay, it's going to be crucial. I think, you know, with Shesterkin and Gorgiev being your two young goaltenders, you have some pretty good offensive power. I'd like to see them try to address the defense, you know, at some point in time here too. Defense is definitely going to be important, especially with your two younger goalies. So do they go out in free agency and try and, you know, bring in some defense. You know, that's not a bad idea, you know, especially with the two young goaltenders, as I said, trying to come up. You want to have some veteran presence to keep them cool and calm and collected while they're in the net. You know, just to keep a level head and everything. So, you know, I don't know if the Rangers are going to go after Lafreniere. It's going to be an interesting, you know, it's going to be an interesting set of arrangements tomorrow. For the Los Angeles Kings, like, they're in full rebuild mode with Luke Robitaille and company trying to turn that whole franchise around and everything. So, Kings, I would wholeheartedly expect them to go after a goal scorer. Excuse me. Allergies are killing me down here. I would expect them to go after a guy like Lafreniere or a goal scorer of that sort to try and reinvigorate that offense a little bit. Andre Kopitar is getting up there in age. Jeff Carter's getting up there in age. So you kind of want to, you know, after losing a guy like Tyler Toffoli earlier in the year in that trade to Vancouver, and you just got to kind of have to replenish the ranks, essentially. So you want to get younger on the front end, and I think that's what the Kings are going to be looking to do. Going down to the number three pick, the Ottawa Senators. Ottawa actually has two of the top five picks in this year's draft and have been kind of hoarding a lot of picks. I do believe that they have a third one later on in the first round, if I'm not mistaken. Now, let me scroll down there. So, yeah, they do. They have the number 28 overall pick, too, so which came from the Islanders. So, you know, you got two picks in the top five and three in the top 30. You know, I'm going to be looking for for Ottawa to kind of be covering all aspects of their game, offense, defense, especially goaltending now that Craig Anderson is not going to be back. You know, what's the state of this team, especially with their front office woes that they've had, you know, gutting the team, getting rid of their captain and some other players that were kind of nuisances or locker room cancers, have you, if you might want to say. So Ottawa's got a lot of work to do to be another viable team. You know, long are the days of Jason Spezza, Daniel Alfredson, and Patrick Lehm and company, and young Wade Redden. But, you know, I'm looking forward to them. I'm actually looking at them and seeing, you know, all right, are they going to address their offensive woes? Are they going to address the defensive woes? The goaltending, I think they might hold off on because the goaltending pool is a little bit deeper this year in the free agent market than normal. So the big name being Brayton Holtby for the goaltending, the biggest name in free agency for goaltending. I'm pretty sure that the Senators will have the cap space to sign him if they want to make a play at him. But retooling the offense and the defense through the draft is something that the Ottawa Senators need to do. They need to be smart with these picks. It's not every day that you get two top five picks and three in the top 30, Jay. I mean, I can only remember a handful of times in major sports where you see teams kind of luck out like that. So Detroit comes in at number four. We all know that Stevie Y has been brought in as a general manager to help the Red Wings get back. I think wholeheartedly that he is doing so, that he will do so. We've seen him make some trades to kind of acquire some draft picks, and they have the number four overall pick. So goaltending with Jimmy Howard, don't think he's going to be back in Detroit. So who knows what route they're going to go on that. Are they going to look in the draft? Are they going to look in free agency? I highly suspect that free agency for goaltending would be probably the best logical way to do. So that way you can focus on trying to get some younger talent on that offense that is sorely needed. So looking forward to that. And then the number five overall pick, like I said, the Ottawa Senators, we're just going to be looking for them to start filling up that farm system, Jay. It's going to be a while still. I really see something out of Ottawa that's going to be a wow factor and make me consider them one of the top teams in the East.
Lord have mercy, there's a lot going on in a short amount of time. Like I said, this is probably going to be one of the most exciting off seasons in any sport, not to mention the NHL, with everything that's got to be accomplished in less than a two-month period of time. Definitely looking forward to next Monday sitting down here recapping the draft and talk about some of the big moves, the big busts, the surprises, all those things we get when we watch a draft, blah, 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 blah. Izzo, as always, it's been a privilege and honor having you on here. Glad to get caught up in everything. I have a feeling it's going to be this hectic every week for a while now. So looking forward to next Monday night.
Oh yeah, man, it's going to be hectic now that we're in my favorite holiday of the year. Hockey just ended, so I'm getting let down gently, Jay. It's not like we're ending in summer and then you just go straight into hot weather and you're just all sad, mucky, and sweaty. So I'm going to be paying attention for the next couple of weeks. Like you said, it's going to be hectic, going to be crazy. And I'm going to be there every step of the way to keep you guys up to date. So until next Monday, you guys stay safe. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yes, sir. That's is our NHL expert. Glad to have him on every Monday night, 8:30, to get us caught up on all the latest going on in the NHL. Got to make sure I thank Carolina Sports Plus and More Than Music. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow. Like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Follow us on Twitter, at 110 Nation, and check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Tomorrow night, take it back Tuesday. 8 o'clock on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.